We're glad you're here tonight. Our text is from 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter gives the following instruction to elders, beginning in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In that text that we just read, I believe we find three opposites that appear there in Peter's instruction. You know, this is one of the most easily understood methods of teaching. To give, first of all, as an illustration, a bad thing which one is not to do, and then immediately to give the good thing that in its place one is to strive to do. Not this, but that. Not this, but three times Peter says, not something, but this. In describing the work or the service of a shepherd, an elder in the Lord's church, he says, first of all, an elder should serve not under compulsion, but voluntarily. The word compulsion there means under force or because no choice has been given. And it's clear when we read the second half of that statement, not under compulsion, but he is to serve voluntarily. He is to serve willingly. He's not to serve because everybody has browbeaten him into it. He's not to serve because nobody else will do it. He's not to serve because, as I've heard some say, well, they just forced it on me. Peter says the service in the Lord's church as an elder is to be voluntary. In the second place, he says, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Sordid gain could include a whole lot of things, but usually we think of the terminology that is usually found in some of the older translations, the King James Version, or perhaps some of the others, I believe, would translate that in some cases, filthy lucre. And we immediately think of money. The word gain is very important. One is not to serve as an elder because he sees something unwholesome to be gained from it. Obviously, in the service that one may render as a shepherd over the flock of God, there is a great deal of gain that can be had. There is the gaining every day of maturity. There is the gaining of Christian character. We have made the statement sometimes that no one is ever perfect in entering into the service or into the eldership. There's no such thing as someone who's absolutely perfect, and once they've reached perfection, they then will be able to become an elder. There is a growth process that continues all the way through one's service as an elder. It is the growth process that I believe God wills to take place in the life of every child of God as long as he lives and has his faculties about him on this earth. God wills that every child of God should grow, should mature, should develop. So it is with the eldership and with those who serve as shepherds over the flock of God. They will grow if everything is as it should be. If God's will is carried out, they will grow and gain great experience. Their wisdom will become stronger and more sound. Their understanding of the truth as they study the Bible daily will grow and increase. And on we could go. But Peter says sometimes people may get involved in the service of God as an elder, as a shepherd, as a bishop in the church, with the idea that there is some kind of selfish gain or sordid. Sordid indicates that which is unattractive spiritually, that which appeals to the baser impulses. Not for sordid gain,
but with eagerness.
The eagerness, I believe, in serving as an elder is not the eagerness that says, let me in there so I can show them what I can do. It's not the eagerness that says, let me in there because there are some people that I want to boss around. It's not the eagerness that says, let me be an elder because there are some things I really want to say to some people. It's the eagerness that is characteristic of the way that the Hebrew writer says we approach the throne of grace with boldness or with eagerness. Eager to serve. Eager to yield up that which can be beneficial to the cause. Eager to contribute that which is needed. That's the eagerness that I believe Peter enjoins upon those who would serve. And then in the third place, he says, not as lording it over, but proving to be examples. Providing an example to follow is the opposite of lording it over the flock. An elder is not a quote-unquote boss, but he is one who leads the way for others to follow. Instead of giving strict commands for others in trying to drive them into service, he must set an example and then beckon to them to follow. A shepherd goes before and leads the flock rather than driving the flock like a herd. In fact, Jesus, the chief shepherd himself, describes this same trait in himself. In John 10, verse 4, he said, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. Truly, the voice of the shepherd never leads in a way that the shepherd himself does not trod. Then we find Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, addressing this very same point and instructs us to remember those who led you and who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Of those who would be the shepherds of the flock of God, the writer says, remember them, noticing what has been the end result of the way they have lived. Follow their example. What are some ways in which an elder, a shepherd, should be an example to the flock? Let me suggest four or five things. He should be a good example of fatherhood. One who serves as an elder in the Lord's church should have the full respect of his children, and they should be subject to his rule in the home. They should be an illustration of his ability to teach and guide in the way of morality and goodness. One of the specific qualities enjoined by Scripture upon one who would be an elder in Titus chapter 1 verse 6 is that he be one having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Now over this point, the question always arises, then do all of his children have to be members of the church? Since Scripture does not provide a plain answer to that particular question, it must be decided by each one individually. But I appreciate Brother Bobby Duncan's response to that question on this point. When provided with a hypothetical situation where it was said that a man had seven children and two were members of the church, and even those two were not all that faithful, and he had five children who lived in total disregard for spiritual matters, the question was put to Brother Duncan, then would this man be qualified to serve as an elder? And Brother Duncan answered like this. He said, "We do not take the position that one is not qualified unless every one of his seven children were faithful Christians. But we do believe that his record should show more success than failure in rearing his own children." Quoted from "The Shepherds Which Are Among You," pages 66 and 67. An elder needs to be a good example of fatherhood. He needs to provide an example to the members of the flock, to the fathers of the flock, an example of how one should conduct himself to his children. In the second place, I believe Scripture teaches us that an elder should be a good example as a husband. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A man who does not exhibit the love for his wife that God says that he has could hardly be a good example of a husband. A man whose wife is not in subjection to him and who does not reflect Christian traits cannot prove to be a good example to the world, much less a good example to the church. But by the example of love and patience and kindness and wisdom and judgment, he's able to get and to hold the proper respect and devotion of a good wife. Proof by experience makes it possible for the church to determine whether or not a man is a good example as a husband, even before he may be appointed to the eldership. An important point to be made here is that no man should be selected and appointed to the eldership with the notion that after becoming an elder, surely he'll be able to bring his children into line, or he'll be able to bring his wife into line. Nor should it be reasoned that the challenge of serving as an elder will settle a man down and make a good husband out of him if he's not already a good husband. We're talking about an example. An example that is set for the church to follow. An elder must be a good example of a husband. He should, in the third place, be a good example of faithfulness to the church. I have known of more than one situation where elders of a congregation and even their family members rarely ever attended Wednesday evening Bible study assembly. Now, as you might imagine, it would be very difficult at best to persuade members of that particular congregation of the value of faithful, steadfast attendance at all of the services of the church. An elder needs to set the example of being faithful in his attendance to worship services. In fact, I believe we could go so far as to say that every elder ought to attend every service of the church for a number of reasons. He must be there to take his place in the oversight of the congregation and the guarding of the flock against error. He needs to be there in the second place to grow and to learn himself. anyone who believes that an elder is a man who has already learned everything that he needs to know hasn't read the Scriptures. And I believe our elders would tell us that there are very few things that are more important than attending worship services and being exposed to the teaching and the encouragement that goes on there. And of course, an elder needs to be there when the church meets to serve as a good example of faithfulness. Of course, worship service is only one aspect of Christian faithfulness, albeit one of the most public and surely one of the most noticeable. He must obviously be faithful in a number of things. He must be faithful to the truth of God's Word. A shepherd must be an example of faithfulness in working for the church. In some congregations, nobody does any work but the elders. There are some congregations that the elders never do any work and everybody else does all the work. Neither of those two situations is healthy for the sake of the church. Bishops must be hard workers themselves. They must set the example of hard, faithful work for the sake of the congregation, for the good of the congregation. But they also need to carefully outline and plan the work of the church so that every member can be faithful workers in the service of the Lord. An elder should be a good example as a peacemaker. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Romans chapter 12, verse 18, Paul said, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." There is no doubt that God places a premium on peace, on people getting along with one another and being peaceable with each other. But when disturbance and misunderstandings arise among brethren in any locality, as they often do, elders should be among the first to try to make peace. Not only should they lead in making peace, but they should also conduct themselves at all times so as to ensure peace among themselves, among the eldership. But a word of caution. A peacemaker is not a pushover. Neither elders nor any member of the church should be at peace with sin and error. But even in the face of sin and error, the wisest means of winning is not always to blindly attack. Wise elders should prove themselves examples at making peace in any situation where peace would be pleasing to God. An elder should be a good example as an encourager. Elders should pave the way. They should show every member of the congregation by example how to be encouragers. Perhaps this would rank high among some of the most needed topics and exhortations, not only among elderships in the land today, but among all of God's people, and particularly among those who are younger in the Lord's church. There is a great need for encouragers. An encourager, again, is not a compromiser. An encourager is not a flatterer or a liar. Paul said of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, "He oft refreshed me." I particularly like the J.B. Phillips translation in this case, which renders that statement in that verse like this. Paul said of Onesiphorus, "Many times did that man put fresh heart in me." Many times did that man put fresh heart in me. Has anyone ever said that about you? When it comes time to talk about the good things that you've done in your life, do people say, "He sure is an encouraging person"? Or are there other things that get in the way of that ever having been said of us? An elder, most especially, should set an example as one who encourages in every situation where encouragement would be pleasing and a glory to God. The shepherds of this church must be seen as something other than a band of grim-faced old men who are sitting around waiting for somebody to step out of line. If that's our concept of the shepherds of the Lord's church, we've been misled. They need to be positive, outgoing leaders who lead with an encouraging example. Time will not permit us to give a listing of so many more important things that a shepherd needs to be a good example of, for tonight at least. Perhaps we should close by going back to that passage we noted near the beginning, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, which tells us that the good example of an elder will always bring about the right result. God's Word says, "Considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." Our shepherds need to be men, must be men, according to God's Word, that we can, that we must imitate. They are to be examples to the flock.